Hi, Duke gang. It's Tuesday, March 20th, and I guess this is the first weekend roundup episode. Pretty much information overload. Luckily, we just pretty much focus on Duke here, but I mean, overall, it's a good first weekend. There's plenty to talk about. There's actually too much to talk about, and I mean, I'll run through a few things and then just gear up for this weekend, which is also going to be crazy. As I was saying on information overload, obviously, you got Virginia losing, which who, I mean, I'm sure one of you dudes on Twitter that I see was like, oh, none of y'all picked Virginia to lose in the first round? Can't relate. My bracket's still perfect. Like, I saw a few of those. And I mean, just, you're not fooling anybody. You actually are making yourself look like an idiot. And if your bracket was still close to perfect, nobody cares except for you. So, bragging on Twitter, I mean, it's not necessarily going to get you much, but I could care less either way. So, that's just something I saw. I thought it was kind of funny. Virginia just looked, I mean, you know, they kind of said, if you're Virginia, you know, what's his name got hurt and everything, and that was going to be a problem down the road one way or another anyway, but they rely on their defense, and if they're down 5, it's like they're down 10, or 15, or 20 is what it seems like, and if they're up 5, it feels like they're up 15. That's the way they play. Limited number of possessions and slowing the pace. And UMBC, is that what it is? They just got so hot and it made them collapse out, or, you know, it made them close out on 3-point shots harder than Virginia usually would want to because of how many threes they were hitting. And then once they did that, that little 5'3" dude would just slice and dice. And then Trey Lyles, he would just do his thing, which, I mean, that dude was impressive. Watching him was like, I don't even know. It was impressive to see him on like one leg torching Virginia. And then that just collapsed the defense. They'd kick it out and they just got hot and game over. Virginia's trying to shoot like 40-footers to come back. Like if they hit a 40-footer, it was going to make the score even again. And, I mean, it happened. I didn't really think a 1 seed would go down this tournament, obviously, but the whole 1 seed's never lost. I mean, you knew that was going to come to an end sooner or later, and it was definitely sooner than later. But, I don't know, kind of felt bad that it was Virginia. I don't really care for Virginia at all. I don't really hate Virginia. It was like if a 1 seed was going to go down, I was really hoping it would be Kentucky, Kansas, or Carolina. And then, like, the likely ones that I thought would go down, it's like if Gonzaga gets a 1 seed, I always feel like, oh, Gonzaga's a 1 seed. Might be that year. Or, like, Xavier, it's like Xavier might be that year. But obviously not. I mean, Xavier's out, so I expected that. Didn't know when it would happen. Florida State, they handled business, and that was an impressive game because you saw the grit of Florida State where it was just like, you know, that can win games when it's a single elimination tournament, and Xavier makes a few mistakes, and Florida State just, they just don't give up. They just keep pounding, keep hammering at it, and they win 75-70. Didn't think Xavier would be a problem anyway. And now you have Florida State and Gonzaga. That'll be on the 22nd, so that's Thursday at 10:07 p.m. I mean, Thursday and Friday from 7 o'clock to probably about 1 a.m., you've got good basketball games. Obviously, the Sweet 16, it's not the best matchups that you could imagine coming into this tournament. This tournament, you were thinking, a lot of teams, a lot of good teams, no real great teams except for maybe Virginia, and some teams like Kentucky catching their stride. Question mark on Duke, like the ACC tournament, obviously it was the UNC loss. It was some bullshit. So it's like, what Duke team is going to show up? More on that in a minute, obviously. UNC, they looked good in the tournament. Tough loss to Virginia. And then you got the like wild cards of Michigan State and Villanova. They're like the veteran favorites, kind of. I mean, that, you know, they're tough. And, you know, it's pretty much a wild card tournament is what it felt like. A lot of people picking Virginia, a lot of people picking Villanova, a lot of people picking Duke. But a lot of those teams I just named, they're gone. Carolina's gone. They were like a big pick to be in the Final Four. They're gone. Texas A&M absolutely thrashed, thumped, slapped, smacked up, bully-balled, annihilated them. If I was a Carolina player or fan or coach, I would be ashamed of myself. And I got to be honest, I don't really care about when they lose or whatever. Oh, let me rephrase that. I'm not going to go text you if Carolina loses. First of all, Duke hasn't won the championship yet, so no bad juju, no bad karma, no BS coming my way. I'm not going to be an asshole while Duke's still in the tournament. I'm just happy as hell that Duke's in the tournament still and how good they look also. So I could really care less, but seeing them get thrashed like that in Charlotte with a majority UNC crowd to Texas A&M, who, you know, they were acting like this game was one of the, obviously, you know, this game was happening and there wasn't much talk about it because everyone was basically like, UNC looks good. They've been playing good. Texas A&M, they're a good team. We all expect UNC to move on. I'm talking about in the media's eyes. I'm not talking about any Duke fans or whatever. I know a lot of people had Texas A&M beating Carolina that I know personally, but, I mean, we're a little biased. Like, I had them losing to Michigan, but looking back at it, I think Michigan's even a better matchup than Texas A&M for UNC. And just hanging out with Presley, and we're like, it's like Sunday, right? And we're just chilling. I think we had a cookout or something like that. And just walking inside and seeing the score, like they're down like 24 or something. And I just had to like rub my eyes like, is this really happening? And then once I figured out that it was really happening, it just made me extremely happy. Because last year, Duke gets bounced in the second game of the first weekend in South Carolina. It was being played in South Carolina because the LGBT thing in North Carolina, so it got moved to South Carolina. They catch the South Carolina matchup in South Carolina, and it's basically a harsh away game full of UNC fans and South Carolina fans, and they catch the loss. South Carolina goes on to be a Final Four team, almost goes to the championship, which I thought they were. And we catch so much shit for it. Twitter is like the worst place / best place in the world. And they just want to hit you with the jokes of, you're not going to get out of the first weekend again. Have fun losing in the first weekend. Oh, how's that first weekend? Y'all never get out of it. First of all, gets out of it all the time. Coach K's been to more Final Fours or Sweet 16s or whatever. He's been to more everything than everybody. That's my fact. he's also the most winningest coach of all time in women's and men's college basketball now. So, suck on that for your first weekend. And having all that hit you on Twitter, or seeing those retweeted on your timeline, or hearing about it, or being live at it like we were, and it sucking tremendously, and UNC winning the championship, and then seeing them get blown out in Charlotte by Texas A&M, seeing that dude throw that windmill dunk, cherry picking like he did on that straight ass whipping, was so funny and so enjoyable for me. I didn't text anyone. I didn't act like a dick. I just got a good laugh out of it and a good few tweets out of it. And, I mean, that's all I wanted. They're out now, and the good thing about them being out is Carolina did not win the ACC championship this year. They did not win the regular season title in the ACC this year. In the grand scheme of things, neither one of those matter at all to me compared to the NCAA title. And they are 100% out. 0% chance to win the NCAA title this year, which makes me so happy. Combined with Duke is still dancing, Sweet 16ing, here we come, against Syracuse, and Duke has looked really good. Competition level, obviously, it hasn't been as high as it will in the future if they keep advancing. They overpower Rhode Island and Rhode Island and Iona. Almost said UMBC. I don't know what I'm talking about. But they oversize everybody. Outsize everybody. They outsize those two teams tremendously. But I just thought that Duke looked so good for multiple reasons. There wasn't a lot being forced. Bagley wasn't forcing anything. Even Duvall wasn't really forcing anything. He actually was playing really good. He's always going to, I feel like, have a decent amount of turnovers. But even when he does, if he's... I don't really know how to say this. He turns the ball over, and that's been a problem all year. But turning it over less and having more assists and more points efficiently, I mean, that's good any way you can look at it. 9 turnovers and 1 assist, that's a lot worse than, like, 6 assists, 4 turnovers, 18 points. Efficient 18 points. And that's what he did the first 2 games. His jump shot isn't always going to be falling, I don't think. But there's so many ways that he can get involved offensively. Slicing, dicing, making great passes with that offensively gifted mind that he has, that you've seen sparks of. And you've seen a lot more here lately. He was a little banged up in the UNC game, and he played absolutely terrible. Went scoreless. And Duke lost. Had he played like he did in the second half at Cameron against UNC, Duke probably beats UNC in the ACC tournament. I think if he plays really good, the whole team is just so much better, because he's playing well for himself, but when he plays well, it affects everyone else. Like, if Gary Trent drops 30, yeah, he dropped 30 and he was on fire, and that can carry the team. But that's not really affecting everyone else. He's not getting 6 assists. He's not slashing through the defense and, creating for other people. And that's what Duvall does when Duvall plays well. And I just think that's so big for the team. And, the Twitter hoes They'll be like, where's the Duval haters at now? I mean, I don't know if anybody was actually ever hating on him. I think, for the most part, this is kind of what you expect from the number one point guard in the recruiting class. And he was underperforming tremendously. And people were frustrated by that. It's always like there's like the Twitter hall monitors or media hall monitors that are calling out everything that everyone says. And I don't really get it. Like, people can be concerned. People can voice shit. Don't send death threats or hate or like threats or whatever it is. That's, you need to fucking shut up if you do stuff like that. But I think it's okay to be concerned about the play of somebody. If Allen disappears for a half, you're concerned about it. If Bagley forces too much and has 10 turnovers, you're concerned about that. But when they are all clicking, it's really incredible. The shots are falling. Bagley and Carter are eating. They're playing smart on defense. I mean, it's you saw it in the first two games. It's like, just keep improving, keep building, keep knocking these teams off one by one. I'm pretty happy with the first two games. And then drawing Syracuse in the third game. It's a tough game. It's two zone teams. Zone's a bitch. But they're undersized. They're undermanned. Coach K, you know, he knows Boeheim like nobody else. Boeheim knows K too, but Boeheim don't have a starting NBA roster on his team. And that's an advantage. And I think Coach K is a better coach anyway, so that's another advantage. Best two advantages you can have. Better coach, better talent. Better team as well. I mean, you have to say it's a better team. So they're going to fight hard, and they're going to be a tough out, and they're going to be tremendously, like, they're riding this wave of, we've won three games. We knocked off three teams that we were not the favorite in, most likely. And we're rolling on to play Duke. We gave them a good match at home at Cameron. So away for Syracuse, obviously. Let's go out there and finish business and knock them off and keep shocking the world. They're going to ride that wave. Duke riding the wave of, we're playing good as hell. We've already beat Syracuse. But Coach K isn't going to let them think like that. It's do or die, and you win or you die. So the game that they've already won doesn't mean a damn to Coach K, because it doesn't matter. It's a different Syracuse team now with the momentum they have. It's a different Duke team now as well. It's not a home game. The loss for Syracuse means nothing. The win for Duke means nothing. Duke barely hit a shot that jump shot that entire game. So they're going to come out and look to hit this game. Like I said, I just think the team's so much better when the shot's falling. Whoever it is. Grayson pulling up from, you know, 40 foot like he did. I was like, okay. Like, he shot it from Durham and won 4-point play. Trent hitting and getting open looks, and Duval even hitting, and Duval providing open looks. It's crazy, and that's when the team's the best, because they can't crowd the paint on Bagley and Carter. And when they do go down there and crowd the paint, they make smart decisions and find the shooters. And the shooters are hitting, which means everything. Because if they're not hitting shit, you don't have to focus on them as much. They brick. You crowd the paint to get the rebound. And then Duke doesn't score a lot, and it's a tough game. That's why I think the three is so important. And I don't think you can force the threes because you have the two best big men in basketball down low. Oh, yeah, Arizona's out as well. They thought they were going to make a run. Kansas is still in. Nah, not too worried about them. But the best two big men in basketball are down low, so you go there when you can. That's you know, that's the gift of this team is how many different ways they can provide offense. And shout out to Wendell Carter just blocking the shit out of people. People try to show me a Wendell Carter poster where he gets dunked on. I'm like, he contests every shot. Yeah, he's going to get dunked on sometimes. See how many crazy blocks he's had? At least he's out there blocking people and hustling and contesting. Fuck out of my face. So, playing Syracuse, I mean, don't look ahead at the schedule. Don't look at what's looming in the distance. You can't because I heard somebody telling me, or somebody on Instagram comment on my photo and said that they're worried about Villanova. Villanova looks like the toughest team. And then some people were like, this team is good enough to win a championship. Yeah, I think so too. But you can't worry about Villanova because Villanova might not even make it. They got to play West Virginia, and West Virginia is tough as fuck. Javon Carter's 49 years old. Plays defense like some dude from the 90s, like Gary Payton. And if you can worry about Villanova, you might as well worry about West Virginia because they might not get past West Virginia. And you can't, just like Coach K says, you can't look ahead because you got to focus right now because it's this game or you go home. If you look over there and say, damn, we might meet Kentucky in the finals. Like, if the team's thinking about that, they're not thinking about Syracuse. So, I wouldn't worry about Villanova just because we might not even see them. And if you do want to worry about Villanova, just worry about it once they actually get matched up. You got to get there first, and they got to get there first. So, don't worry about it until then. Don't even look at it until then. My throat is so dry. I don't know why. But it sucks, and I have to keep drinking water. Hope it's not annoying. So maybe I'll try to edit that out, or maybe I'll just leave it and apologies. Yeah, so first weekend, it was crazy. That was me trying to remember what subject I was just talking about, which was worrying about Syracuse and nothing else, I think. But, I mean, you got Kansas State and Kentucky. I don't know shit about Kansas State. I know Kentucky is, like, a little overhyped right now. They're playing well, but they're very beatable. Everybody's like, Kentucky has an easy road. I mean, yeah, I guess. Not really. They can get knocked off right now, and I mean, one game at a time, so you're shooing in Kentucky, like, I don't even think they'll make it to the championship. But they got as good a chance as anybody on that side. And you got Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. I for sure don't know shit about either one of those teams. Sister Jean, I know her. So, I mean, I guess that means they're guaranteed win because of her. Just kidding. Florida State Gonzaga, that's at 10 o'clock on Thursday. I'll be watching that. I think that'll be a fun one to watch. And then Michigan and Texas A&M, that's the 7 o'clock game on Thursday, 7:30. That's going to be another good one, and I do not know who to pick on that. I don't really have to do picks. So, I don't want to sound like an idiot. If I had to pick, I don't even know. If I had to pick, I really don't know. I'll go Kentucky, Loyola, Chicago. Gonzaga, I guess. And Texas A&M. In the East, Villanova, West Virginia. That's on Friday, 7:30. That's going to be a really fun one to watch. Two veteran-minded teams. They don't really beat themselves. So, I could see West Virginia knocking off Villanova. Texas Tech, Purdue. I know that Purdue guy broke his arm. I don't know much about Texas Tech other than they beat Florida in an extremely close game. Texas Tech. Kansas Clemson. 7 o'clock game. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Clemson's fighting hard. They beat the shit out of Auburn. And they beat New Mexico State pretty easily. So, Kansas is a way different team than those two. But Clemson's playing really well. And they're well coached. So, I'm not calling that one. Duke, Syracuse. You know I'm taking Duke. Syracuse playing well. Thought it was going to be Michigan State. But they lost, and they deserve to lose. So, it's Syracuse and Duke. Duke's been playing, I mean, good as hell. I think they're focused, and I think they're ready for Syracuse. And, you know, whoever wins that game will take on the winner of Kansas-Clemson. And I'm not going to talk about that until it's there. But, I mean, that's the Midwest. So, that'll be the Midwest Championship. Or, you know, Final Two in the Midwest. Whoever wins those two games. So, good slate of games. And it's not what everybody expected. But I really think it's still going to be some really good games. If you look through them, it's like, for the most part, there's, so, Kentucky's obviously the favorite. The Nevada-Loyola Chicago game is pretty even. Nevada's a slight favorite, I guess, because they're seeded higher, and everybody's like, we did not think it was going to be Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. So, just we have no damn clue. Gonzaga, Florida State. Gonzaga is the heavy favorite. Michigan has the pretty good favorite over Texas A&M. Villanova is a... Well, I'm just going off of ESPN's basketball power index. I mean, I can go off the spread too, but I don't know. I'm not a gambler. I don't know this shit. Vanilla Nova. So Vanilla Nova is the 5.5 point favorite. Purdue is the 1.5 point favorite over Texas Tech. Kansas, 4.5 point favorite over Clemson. Right now, Duke is an 11-point favorite over Syracuse. Wow. Nevada's 1.5 over Loyola Chicago. So, I mean, I think it's a fair share of... There's a few games where, you know, there's a heavy favorite and there's an underdog. And then there's also a fair share of games that are pretty even from a index standpoint, you know, betting standpoint, money line, whatever. To me, that means nothing at all, not one thing at all. It's good to look at to see what the numbers say as far as favorites and then laugh at it after. the players go out there and play the game, so the money line doesn't really do shit. But, I mean, I think it's cool as a fair share of, like, underdog mentality games where you can see some upsets, or pretty even games, which in turn should turn into, you know, more times than not, a back-and-forth good game. I think it's good to have a combination like that. Kentucky and Kansas still being in the tournament, I would like both of them to get knocked out. I don't like Kentucky at all. I want them gone. I want them shut up. I want them, you know, right where they belong, back home in Mobile Homeville, Kentucky. And then other than that, I mean, just looking forward to watching a lot of good games. I would like to see Florida State beat Gonzaga just because that would be cool to me. I don't really like Gonzaga that much. Villanova, West Virginia, don't really care. Texas Tech, Purdue, don't really care. Kansas, Clemson, I'd like to see Clemson knock off Kansas because I don't like Kansas. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Duke. I know a lot of people are liking it. Like I said, Duval is like, to me, he's the X factor. If he's figured himself out, then this team as a equation is solved. And they're best when he does best. He's not the best player on the team. He's not going to put up the most points on the team. He's not going to get the most rebounds on the team. But when he plays good, the whole team plays good. When you can rely on him to hit a jump shot, or rely on him to make a play, or rely on him to make the right decision, the team is in such better shape. It allows Grayson to play more freely, others to get involved. Trent's been hitting. Duke gang splashing. Duke gang saved the ocean. You know what I'm talking about. We out here splashing on people. I don't know what I'm talking about. But when all that's going good, man, I'm just in here like giddy, like a kid on Christmas. Like, I'm just over here like, eek. Like, I'm so happy. And it makes me feel like throwback to 2015 when games kept going by and Duke kept getting better. Duke kept getting better. Get past Gonzaga. Like, it was, you know, it was a tough game, but Tyus Jones, you know, everybody, it was really nothing. Had the Justice Winslow game where he lit up in Houston. Go to play Michigan State, beat the hell. Like, I was like, oh, no, Michigan State, they're good. Thrashed. And then it all comes down to the championship game, and it's like, this team's just getting better and better and better, and people are still picking Wisconsin because they're the veteran team and more, I guess they were a little, you know, they're deeper. Just power through and handle business, win the championship. That's all I want from this team. And these first two games, I mean, they got me feeling happy. And the main moral of the story is Duke's still dancing, and whatever else is happening doesn't matter as long as they win. So when they're winning, I just enjoy the rest of the games, watch them, enjoy those good games, buzzer beaters, crazy March Madness, you know. That first weekend is just it's insane. Can't keep up with it. Trying to live my life, but I'm trying to watch every game. It's a task. Not much sleep, not much productivity, but that's what it is. I can sacrifice one weekend to be a piece of shit to enjoy some good March Madness basketball. I think it was funny, all these experts like picking what they pick on ESPN or whatever, you know. And then none of them really picking Duke. And then after the first weekend, they're like, you know, Duke looks good. They look like they could be the best team. They're getting their shit together. It's like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, oh, but you picked Arizona. So, how's that working out? Oh, like 90% of you picked Virginia. How's that working out? So, that's all funny to me. I mean, you've seen it the other way, too. You've seen people pick Duke and Duke fuck up in the first weekend, so that's going to show you that don't waste your time filling out a bracket, but we all do it anyway, so I'll get this out, and I don't know, is there anything else? Oh, Theo Pinson tweeting out the 2017 championship after they got their ass whooped. You just look like such a bum. So Theo Pinson, they lost, and then he tweeted out a picture of him and Joel Berry with the 2017 championship, then won by himself with the 2017 championship with all smiles. Like, yeah, dude, that works. Does that really make up for getting your ass stomped in Charlotte a day ago? And then I'm pretty sure, like, Marvin Bagley tweeted laughing faces and locked in. And then I'm pretty sure Duvall tweeted live in the moment and a bunch of laughing faces. Props to that. To me, that's absolutely hilarious. And I think it's funny as shit. Like, you're soft. You're a bum if you tweet that stuff. Good career. Pretty stand-up dude, it seems like. Whatever. But to me, if Duke got blown out by 20 and then they went and tweeted about, like Grayson Allen tweeted the 2015 championship, I'd be like, I don't give a fuck about that championship. You just lost by 40. Or 20 or whatever. It might as well have been 40 for UNC. Like, that's how terrible they looked. Not only that, Pinson, you played awful. And Barry played awful. Luke May played awful. And that defense was just too much. So, I thought that was funny. Again, don't care at all. But I thought that was funny. So, yeah. I'll keep recuperating and recovering from this crazy storm of fun basketball to watch. And gear up for this game, which is at like 10 o'clock, which will probably be like 10:30 start time for Duke. But, I mean, get to watch the precursors of the rest of the games because Duke is absolutely the last game of the week. So, that'll be good. And I'll be back after all those games, I guess. Yeah. This sounded a little spaced out a bit. And I think it's because, like I said, it's information overload. Like, so much happened this weekend. So many upsets. And just crazy shit. I'm trying to sit here and just think about it all. But it's kind of hard because it's just so much. Oh, yeah. Seeing UMBC beat Virginia, the way they reacted about it, the way the media handled it, the way all the extra shit they had to do after, you know, they're not sleeping as much. They're doing media, ESPN, every other show, calling this, talking to this, doing this, Twitter blowing up, making an Instagram account because they got 50,000 followers for beating Virginia, celebrating like they won the national title, everything they did. You just, to me, I was like, they're done. Their team is good and I think could have won another game. However, they were not there physically or mentally after what they went through after knocking off a one seed. Come on ESPN, come on this show, call into this, do this. They probably barely slept. They thought they were better than they were, and then they got beat. And that sucks to see when it's like a talented team, but they do all that, act like they won the Super Bowl, and yeah, I said Super Bowl, and then get beat in the next round when they could have kept going, I think. They played Kansas State, and Kansas State was beatable as hell. UMBC was just too tired, too beat. They couldn't make a shot, no legs under them, and that was the difference. I mean, they could have won, and they'd be playing Kentucky, and everybody would be freaking out. Like, a 16 seed is going to knock out Virginia and Kentucky, but they acted like they won the Super Bowl, so didn't happen. Kentucky's on the other side of the bracket, though, so really don't have to worry about them at all. They couldn't do their part and get there in 2015, so maybe they'll do their part this year. We shall see. All I'm saying is I like the way Duke's playing. I like the way the shooters are shooting. I like the way Bagley and Carter are playing. I like the way Duvall's playing. I like the aura, like the vibe around the team. And I'm just enjoying it. So let's get this third win of the tournament, move on to the Elite Eight, and just keep handling business. I'm excited for it. You can tweet me or whatever you want to do. Until then, Duke Gang keep splashing, and I'm out.